Hey, welcome to the Shir, Maral Goryari, Parshas Devarim. I want to try to do a few short pieces in the Goryari this week, many of them focusing on Inyanim related to Tochacha, to giving admonition to people. The Sefer opens up, Hela HaDevarim Asher Dibur Moshe Al Kol Yisrael. These are the words which Moshe spoke to all of Yisrael. Eva HaYarden on the eastern side of the Jordan. Midbar Bo'arava Mosul Vein Parim Vein Tato V'lovim V'chaseris V'dizav. And the Moshe goes on to list a whole bunch of different places. The simple shaft in the Pasuk seems to be that Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed these words to Klal Yisrael in all of these different places. In other words, these are the places where these words were conveyed. Rashi brings from Chazal a different interpretation, that these are not the places where the words were conveyed, but rather these are the places about which the words were conveyed. Rashi says as follows, these words that Moshe Rabbeinu was sharing in the beginning of Sefer Devarim are all words of admonition. Umano kan, all of these places are all places where in the past, over the past 40 years, the Klal Yisrael were wandering in the desert. In each of these places, they did something to anger the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Sikach saw them as Hadvarim to his Kiram the Remes, and it's for that reason that Moshe Rabbeinu expressed these incidents in a backhanded and somewhat implicit as opposed to explicit way. In other words, he didn't say, as we're going to see in just a moment, you know, he didn't say that he gave them tochacha about the Egel Hazav, about the Miraglim, about the sin of Korach, about the sin of the Kibros HaTaiva. Right? In other words, it doesn't say explicitly that these were the words of tochacha. Rather, there are these code words that are used in the Pasuk. Each of these places hints at a specific act which Klal Yisrael did and the words of admonition that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to them. Why are they only listed off in a hinting kind of way? Right? In order to protect the honor, the dignity of the Jewish people, that we shouldn't read in the Pasuk about Moshe Rabbeinu giving them tochach on this and giving them tochach on that and giving them tochach about the other thing. So that's why it's conveyed in this backhanded and less than explicit manner. So on that, on that statement in Rashi, the Maral raises the following kasha, which, like so many kashas that the Maral deals with, is originally raised by the Mizrahi, by Rebbe Eliyahu Mizrahi, and that's as follows. I don't understand. So you're saying that in this opening pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu only hints at the sin of the Egel Azov. And he only hints at the sin of the Miraglim. Okay. And he does so because he doesn't want to embarrass the Jewish people. But just keep reading Parshas Devarim. If you keep reading Parshas Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu recounts the whole story of the Miraglim at length and castigates the Jewish people for their sin with the Miraglim. And if you go on further into Parshas Eikev, so there the Torah, again, reiterates the whole story of the Egel Azov, the golden calf. And there too, Moshe Rabbeinu holds the people accountable for what they did. And that's very explicit. So if Moshe Rabbeinu isn't afraid to be explicit in those cases and other cases as well, why the need to be so oblique over here that they clothe and show yourself because we want to protect the dignity and the honor of the Jewish people? That apparently didn't bother Moshe Rabbeinu later on, so why are we being so careful over here? So Maral gives two answers. And they're both, I think, good answers. Not just in this context, in a narrow sense, but for the whole idea of tochacha. Chosam shani. It's different in those cases. The fact that later on in Devarim and the Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu at length describes the sins of the Miraglim and the Ego. Sheino maskir ela echad echad, v'lo maskir kol ha'atar yachad. It's one thing to mention a specific sin and to give mussar on that specific sin. Now, there you could be explicit about the sin that was committed. Because after all, the Maral quotes from Koheles, to aim sadik ba'aretz asher yatzah tov v'lo yatzah. There's no such thing as a person who's a complete sadik who doesn't sin. So is it so embarrassing to remind the people that they committed a sin by the Meraglim or the Chet HaEgel? Yeah, okay, it's somewhat embarrassing, but does it single out the Jewish people as being somehow beyond redemption because they sinned? No, everybody sins. Right, so the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu calls their attention to the fact that they sinned with the Meraglim, they sinned with the Chet HaEgel, okay, you know, people sin. Avokan shehishkir kolach hatoyim shechotu shehishkir v'yamakom. But here, where the pasuk puts a whole bunch of sins together, v'heim hoyu harbe hatoyim. That's a lot of sins. I mean, if you go through it, it's a whole bunch that are listed up here in the pasuk. Nekvodem for Yisrael maskir oson the remes. So there, it would have to be very embarrassing to the Jewish people to just put in one long list your sins here and your sins there and your sins in the other place, right? In other words, you know, to mention a number of sins together, that's unusual. So there, there's a special emphasis on protecting the dignity, the kavod of Klal Yisrael, and not mentioning the sins explicitly. He writes that the Mizrahi, who asked the question, gives that answer as well. Certainly just extrapolating to interpersonal relationships, and again, giving mussar to others, there's a big difference between giving mussar about one failing versus giving mussar about many failings. You know, you give mussar about one failing, people can handle that. You give mussar about many failings, we have to realize, the Maral essentially is telling us, that can really be incredibly embarrassing and devastating. It's not just like, you know, you were a little bit embarrassed with sin one, you're a little bit embarrassed with sin two, and you just kind of add it up. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You know, if you start telling a person that, you know, you have 50 problems, right? So that's, you're making a judgment call about his totality, not just about, you know, specific actions which that person performs. That person has to be sensitive, you know, when you're conveying mussar that deals with more than one issue. That's an important point over here. Right, so it's an interesting point, right? In other words, the actual perpetrators of most of these sins, right, are not here at the present time. I think on the basic level, this goes back to the idea of, you know, you're not just individuals, there's a sense of being part of a collective, meaning you are Klal Yisrael. And while you specifically may not have participated in these averos, you know, you need to learn from what your forefathers did and correct your ways, because ultimately this is all about you, right? The Gemara says in a different context that the tzibur can't die. So that's a good thing, because the tzibur keeps going. But, you know, the flip side of that is, you know, it's the tzibur that committed these averos, even if those specific people are not here anymore. We look at the tzibur as a corporate entity, you know, so to speak. I'm sorry? Right, yeah, along the same lines. Second answer the Maral gives, this is his own answer. Inami, the kan lefishu hu rosh ha-tsefer, the ein lahaskol b'chei Yisrael shehu genusam. What's unique about here is that it's the beginning of the Sefer. It's, you know, we're not afraid of giving Musar. But to start off giving Musar is harder to stomach than to slip some words with Musar, you know, into the middle of whatever it is you're talking about. So when Moshe Rabbeinu starts off the Sefer with words of Musar, he has to kind of cover over those words of Musar and make them less than totally explicit. You know, they have to be only presented the remez in a backhanded kind of fashion. You can give mussar, but you can't start with mussar so easily. That's why they're presented obliquely, because they come at the beginning of a sefer. The key I got in the cost of Rashi Lamalo, Eso Bayasu, the Yasu, the Eso, Sakosach, the Moad, the Vatashis Baloska, Shina Kost of Masko, the Gusum, so you saw the Rosh HaSefer. Where do we find a similar concept, a similar thing like this, that you don't start off a Sefer with you know, with mussar, with words that are derogatory. So Maharal quotes a Rashi, who's in turn quoting a Gemara about the beginning of Bamidbar, right? In Parshas Valoscha, so the Torah reveals the whole episode of Pesach Sheni. Now, if you look at the dates, the whole back and forth about Pesach Sheni takes place in the month of Nisan, in the second year after the Jews leave Mitzrayim. The beginning of Bamidbar, Bamidbar Perek Aleph, starts off in Iyar of the second year after the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim. So in other words, really, if you wanted to put everything in chronological order, so the parasha of Pesach Sheni should be the opening parasha of Sefer Bamidbar, right? So it's on that. So the Gemara says, in Sochem, you see, Ein Mukta Melucha B'Torah, right? Knows that, you know, the Torah is not necessarily written in chronological order, right? But, okay, but why does the Torah switch it? So Rashi there writes, in Pashas Baloscha, that were the Torah to begin Sefer Bamidbar with the laws of Pesach Sheni, it would be a little bit of Gnusan Shel Yisrael. It would reflect poorly on Kal Yisrael. Shekol Arboim Shana Shehari Yisrael Bamidbar Leikribu El Pesach Shedulvod. Because the whole Pashas of Pesach Sheni underscores the fact that this is the only time that they brought a carbon Pesach while they were in the Midbar. Right? So that fact comes out, not even so directly, that fact comes out kind of indirectly, implicitly, you know, through the parasha of Pesach Sheni, but that's enough of a negative that, you know, the Torah decides not to put the parasha of Pesach Sheni right in the beginning of Bamidbar. Now, the Torah doesn't have a problem putting the parasha of Pesach Sheni later on in Bamidbar, notwithstanding the fact that there's a little bit of an implicit rebuke to call yourself. You know, you made a Pesach this time, but you didn't make a carbon Pesach any other time that you were in the Midbar. Right? There's a little bit of an implicit rebuke there. Nonetheless, say, you know, Rashi seems to be saying, again, as the Maharal understands him, that there's a different standard for starting off the Sefer versus being in the middle of the Sefer. We don't start off the Sefer with something that has rebuke or put down, even implicitly, right? Even if we're comfortable having the same parasha later on. So says the Maharal, it's the same thing over here. Later on in the Sefer, we have no problem telling Klal Yisrael explicitly you sinned by the Meraglim, and you sinned by the Chet HaRegel, and all of these sort of things. But you know, to start off the first pasuk in the Sefer to say explicitly you sinned, there's something wrong with that. You know, we don't start off with such explicit words of Musa. Right, so the Gemara explains that they didn't have Rishmila, right, or there were the people who were born in the Midbar, right, after they left Nisan, didn't have Bris Milah, and the Gemara explains that they didn't have Bris Milah because there was a certain wind that was blowing, which would have made it dangerous to have a Bris Milah. So as Rishonim point out, in a sense, it's not really their fault, right? But at the same time, it's going to Rishonim that had Klal Yisrael been Zocha, they would have been Zocha to have the circumstances clear up in such a way that to be able to have the Bris Milah. The fact that the circumstances worked in their favor is in itself a poor reflection on Klal Yisrael. Again, the Lashon and Rashi is very meduyah. Rashi doesn't say that the Jews are blamed for not bringing a Korban Pesach, but it's Gnusan Shel Yisrael. You know, sometimes you can do everything right, but, you know, it still doesn't look good. Right? So here it just doesn't look good for Klal Yisrael that they weren't able to be the kindest mitzvah for so many years. Yeah. In terms of carbon Pesach Sheni? You could understand it that way. I think the simplest way of understanding is just that, you know, here they go, you know, this was the carbon that symbolized their becoming a nation, and they neglected it for 40 years. Again, for circumstances beyond their control, but Lamaisa, you know, Lamaisa, they didn't do it. So that's the Gnusa. So here too, again, there's a second limud halacha Lamaisa, in terms of giving Tochacha. You know, even when Tochacha is appropriate, it's not always appropriate to start off with Tochacha. You know, you slip the mussar in the middle when people aren't expecting it. You know, you get up and you start off here in an imuchar mezunim to give you words of mussar. You know, it, not only does it not work, but I mean, I think the point is that the Maharal is making over here is that there's something wrong about that. There's something inappropriate, you know, to start off with words of Moshe. You want to get to Moshe, fine, but you know, you don't start off with words of Moshe. That's why, or at least you dull the Moshe. You know, the Moshe is covered over. What's that? Yeah. Right. Right. I mean, that was, I don't know if you call that Moshe so much. I think that's more, you know, a conniving way of convincing people, you know, to do something which they don't realize they're doing. Okay, you know, sometimes if you start with X, it's easier to bring people to Y. That point is true. Okay, a little bit more on the topic of Moshe. So this is, I guess it's good for right before Tisha B'Av. So, in Pasuk Gimel, the Pasuk says, "Vayhi arba'im shana b'asheres ha'chodesh be'echad l'chodesh." Right? It was in the 40th year on the first of Shvat. Diber Moshe el b'nei Yisrael k'chol asher tziva Hashem osho aleihem. Moshe spoke to Klal Yisrael all these things that Hashem had commanded him to say. What was he commanded to say? So Rashi understands it was those Divrei Musa that were mentioned before. Right, Rashi, Melame Shlo Hochichon El Samuch Lam Yisrael. Right, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu only really gave Musa to the people right before he died. You know, approximately a month and change before he passed away. Mi Lomad, from whom did he learn this? Yaakov Avinu as well only really admonished his children right before he passed away. Right? And Rashi continues to skipping a little bit. There's four reasons to do this. Reason number one is today, a person shouldn't be put into a situation where he becomes like a broken record. He gives Musa. If a person waits till he's about to pass away and then gives Musa, so by definition, he's not going to be a broken record because, you know, it's going to be right before he passes away. And I think the implication, yeah, we'll see in the Maharal in just a moment, you know, the implication seems to be that the tochacha is just not as effective if it's just repeated over and over again. Right? On that, the Maharal writes as follows. What's bad about giving the person Musa many times over and over again? So, you know, it's just not going to be effective, says the Maharal. You know, if you know that a certain person, you know, his whole mahus in life, his whole character in life is just, he's the Muslim man. You see the guy walking down the street, he's coming towards you, say, oh no, you know, he must be looking to give me Muslim because that's all he does, right? So you gotta cross the street and walk the other way, you know. So at a certain point, it becomes ineffective, you know, to try to give him Muslim over and over again. Kimosha Amar Yaakov, as Yaakov himself said, Rashi quotes it over here, Nisyari Ayifi Shematani Kheir, it seems like the Esau Vachi, why didn't I give Musa to my children until I was just about to pass away? Says Yaakov Avinu, because I was afraid. You'd leave me, you'd go to Uncle Esau. Uncle Esau's not going to give you any Musa. So I didn't want to chase you away. Vahashta Shaloya Mochicha, the Chosen Mochicha, Loya Nisyari Minerish Yaakov Yachiach also, will let them make us Lahachi. However, if the person waits so close to his death to give Tzalchacha, to give Musa to the one who deserves it, so he knows that, you know, the person is not going to abandon him, leave the way of life which he wants him to follow, because he knows, you know, that the one giving a Musa doesn't have much longer on this earth. Continues the Maharal with the following passage. V'im tome, v'chi v'shvil kach lo yochiach osho? Okay. So, you know, you have this concern that if you give Musa multiple times, it's not going to be effective, or maybe even will be counterproductive. But so what? So who mitzvah saseh, hochiach tochiach? But you still have a mitzvah in the Torah to give Musa to someone who needs to receive Musa. So, you know, you're afraid that it won't be effective. Why does that exempt you from the mitzvah saseh of tochacha? Answers the Maharal, the Yesh Lomar, the Hahi Kishiroa Aveira Sivalochiach Oso. when the Torah says hocheach tocheach, that's only with regard to an aveira which is fresh. An aveira which is being done in the here and now. You see a person doing an aveira, you have to give him musa. Aval aveira she'odai l'sneizun amharbe. Mochiach ososh lo yavo od l'zei aveira. However, in this case, these were not fresh aveiros. These are aveiros from 40 years ago. So to give someone musa and an aveira from 40 years ago, why are you giving him musa and an aveira from 40 years ago where the assumption is that the person can't do anything about it now? The idea of the musa would be, remember what you did 40 years ago, don't repeat it. Okay, so that kind of musa, ein tov shiochiach v'chozer u'mochiach, it's not desirable that you should keep giving musa over and over again on something that happened in the past. Because then the recipient is not going to be willing to receive the tochacha. Now, let's just analyze the Naral for a moment. The Naral asks the kasha, you know, isn't there a mitzvah hocheach tochiach? Shouldn't that dictate that you have to give somebody musa as many times, that you can give him musa many times over and over again because of the mitzvah hocheach tochiach, even though the musa may not be effective? And even though, as the Maral said a few moments ago, it may not just be ineffective, it may be counterproductive, it may drive him away. What's the Maral's answer to that? You're right. We're talking about Musa, not about a fresh Aveira. We're talking about Musa, about an Aveira from the Shomim Kadmonios, you know, from years and years ago. It's Mashma in the Maral that on an Aveira which is fresh, one is obligated to give the person musr many, many, many times over, even if you feel it's going to be ineffective, and even if you feel it's going to drive the person away. Right? Even if you feel it's going to drive the person away. Right? That's what Mashma the Maral. The Maral was saying, you know, why is it that we're not concerned about hocheach tochiach? You know, it's only because it's not a fresh aveira. But in other words, if there's a person whom, he comes Monday, he does an aveira, you give him tochacha. He comes on Wednesday, he does the same aveira, you give him tochacha. He comes the following Monday, does the same aveira, you give him tochacha again. At no point, says the Maral, should you make a cheshbon that, you know what, I'm giving him musa twice a week on the same aveira, maybe this isn't really getting anywhere. No, you have a mitzvah of hocheach tochiach. The only time that you can take these cheshbonos into effect is on an aveira that happened in the past. Yeah. Right, so it's mashma in the Maral that any statements like that in the Gemara are only talking about the second kind of tochacha, a tochacha on past aveiros. Where does Maral get this from? So, you know, we know the Gemara mentions the concept, Muslims who show begin the al yom mezidin. Right? Sometimes it's better to leave people alone and not give them tochacha. Better for them not to know. Right? So the Gemara itself says that that's with regard to dirim derabana, not with regard to dirim deresh. With dirim deresh, so Muslim shishokigin doesn't apply. Right? So it could be that the Maral is basing himself on that distinction, that, you know, what's the cheshbon of Mutter Shishogin? Mutter Shishogin means that sometimes Tochacha is counterproductive. It's not going to yield the desired result. In fact, it may yield the opposite result. But the Gemara limits that kind of cheshbon to an Aveira Derabana, not to an Aveira Derabana. So in other words, it sounds like perhaps the Maral understands from there that when it comes to an Aveira Daraisa, one has a mitzvah of Tochacha, and the mitzvah of Tochacha transcends any Cheshbonos. And even if, you know, the person, you know, feels that the Tochacha is going to be counterproductive, even if the Tochacha is going to drive the person away, this it sounds like, Maral is understanding that the mitzvah of Tochacha would still be applicable in such a situation. No, so Yaakov Avinu was out there talking about sins of the past. What's that? Now, why didn't Yaakov Avinu do it at that point? Right, so it could... Right, so maybe, again, how many times did he have to pound away? He did give tochacha b'shas maisa, right? By Reuven, you do have the lashon v'yishma Yisrael, right? So in other words, there is something that goes on over there, again. Right. So, I think you have to say, according to the Maharal, just the way he's understanding, that there was Musa b'shas maisa. Again, once the Musa was given and the sin wasn't repeated, there was no need to be chozer u'mochiach, right? In other words, because at that point it's no longer a fresh sin. The idea of being chozer u'mochiach on a sin of yesteryear is only nogeah samuch l'misa. It's only, you know, right before Yaakov Avinu dies that he can drag out all the skeletons out of the closet and be mochiach, you know, the shvatim on the things that they did. I think that's what the Maharal was saying. But the Maharal would understand, enochinami, you know, b'shas maisa, when Reuven did what he did, so Yaakov was mochiach him. And then he let it go, because, you know, it's a dumb deal. Shimon and Levi, with the Pesach says, that he gave them tochacha on what they did. Right? So, you know, the only thing that he wasn't chozer mochiach was, you know, he didn't make a day every year to remind them. And by the way, you know, remember what she did, it's, Right, so maybe he felt, again, what is tochacha mean? Tochacha means you have to say something. Doesn't mean you have to smack the guy. You know, doesn't necessarily mean you have to smack the guy. You know, but it means you have to say something. Okay, so he was Mekayim saying something, and now we can move on. But you know, to not say anything, I think it's Mezuyak in the Maral that he feels that would be a chisar in hocheach tochiach. Okay, we'll pick up with some more words from the Maral following Myrus. Okay, welcome to the second half of the Shir Maral Goyarim Parshas Dvarim. So I wanted to see a beautiful, short but beautiful Goyarie in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud. So Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting to Klal Yisrael, I said to you, Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, at that time saying, well, how about these faces, then? I'm not capable all alone of bearing all of your issues. Hashem Elokeichem, hirbo etchem, v'hinechem ayom kichokhe ha-shamayim lorov. Hashem, your God, has increased you, and behold, today you're as many as the stars of the heavens. Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef Aleichem Kochem Elof Ha'omim. May Hashem increase you, just like you, 1,000 times over. Yivarech Etchem Kasher Diber Lachem, and may He bless you as He has spoken to you in the past. It's not clear what Pasuk Yud Aleph adds to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud describes how you are blessed, you know, like the stars of the heavens. May Hashem continue to bless you, you know, in Pasuk Yud Aleph. So Rashi brings the following in Yud Aleph. Yosef Hashem Aleichem Kochem Elof Ba'omim. Ma Ushuv. Right? Okay, so Rashi writes, Ma Ushuv Zivarech Etchem Kasher Diber Lochem. May He bless you as He spoke to you. In other words, you know, may just say, Hashem Elokeichem Yosef Aleichem Kochem Elof Ba'omim. May Hashem add to you many more, you know, 1,000 times over. And once you say that, on the surface, it's not really necessary to add the phrase, and may He bless you as He said that He was going to bless you. And la'amru lo, so what happened was the following, says Rashi. Moshe, atanosen kitzvah levir choseinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jewish people, you'll be as numerous as the stars of the sky, so they said, that's not a good bracha. You're putting a limit on our bracha. Because Kvaritiyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avram, Hasher im Yuchal Ishrem Nos. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, you know, your children are going to be more numerous than the stars of the heavens. Right? So we already have a bracha from the Ribbono Shel'olam that we're going to be more numerous than the stars, and you're coming and you're telling us we're going to be like the stars? You know, it's kind of reminiscent of, you know, telling a guy who's 119 years old, Avnei Ve'Esrim. Not, no, maybe not such a bracha at that point, right? In other words, we already have a bracha that we're going to be as numerous, you know, more numerous than the stars. You're telling us we should be numerous as the stars? So, Omar Lohem, so Moshe Rabbeinu said back to them, Zomi Shalihi. The bracha I just gave you is my own personal bracha, that you should be like the stars. Aval hu yivarech etchem kasher diber lochem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you, as he said in the past, i.e., even more numerous than the stars. I give you a bracha, you should be like the stars. Hashem should give you a bracha, yivarech etchem kasher diber lochem. Hashem should give you the bracha that he already promised you should be even more numerous than the stars. So says Rashi. Right to my now. In Soma, Ralo Adayim Kosher, Ralo Bichlau, Birchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Birchus Moshe. I don't understand. So the Ribbono Shel Olam already gave a bracha that they're going to be more numerous than the stars. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, and halavai, that bracha should be mekuyim. You know, that bracha should certainly be fulfilled. But I want to give you my own bracha, that you should be like the stars. So what's the point of Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha? If Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha is already superseded by the bracha of the Ribbono Shel Olam, what's the point of Moshe Rabbeinu giving a bracha? It's less than a total bracha. Yesh L'tarit. One can answer as follows. Ki birkas HaKadosh Baruch Hu hayu l'Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom sasek. Right? With regards to Hashem's bracha, these should be as more numerous than the stars. So Moshe Rabbeinu was unsure. Imhem re'uyim lohem atza, v'enam re'uyim lohem atza. Shema enam sadikim. It's not automatic. Moshe Rabbeinu understood, at least, that it's not automatic that the people will be zocha to get that bracha of being more numerous than the stars, this bracha of infinite numbers. Because to get such a bracha, Moshe Rabbeinu understood, it's conditional. People have to be tzaddikim. Olfika on our birchasi, hem yiruyim bevadai, sheyesh lahem kitzva. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu gives what I guess would be called a backup bracha. You see, there's such a concept as a backup bracha. Even if they're not fit for the big bracha, you know, that they're going to be even more numerous than the stars, at least we give them a backup bracha, if they're not on that madrega, that they should get, you know, this more limited bracha of being like the stars. Hartman, in his notes to the Maral, tries to explain what the difference should be. In other words, you know, so why is Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, so sure that they'll be zocha to his bracha? I mean, maybe they're not even zocha to the bracha of being as numerous as the stars. You know, how does he know that even if they're not zocha to Hashem's bracha, they'll be zocha to his bracha? So Rav Hartman wants to suggest on a fundamental level, you know, a bracha that's infinite, you know, requires a certain level of schus. A bracha that's more finite, you know, you'll be up to this and no more, doesn't require a schus. I'm not sure if I fully understand that. I mean, if once you're introducing the concept that brachas require a schus, I would think that even a finite bracha, but a bracha which is nonetheless a big bracha, I mean, it'll be as numerous as the stars of the sky. Pretty big bracha, you know, even if it's finite, you know, I would think that requires a schus as well. The way I understood the Maral was not that there's a fundamental difference between the bracha of the Ribbono Shel Olam and the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, not that Moshe Rabbeinu felt that, you know, his bracha must come true regardless of the schus of Klal Yisrael, and the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was somehow dependent on the schus of Klal Yisrael, but Moshe Rabbeinu was just in a very, you know, sort of pedestrian way, sort of hedging his bets, right? In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu said, look, again, if we could put numbers on it, you have to be, Klal Yisrael has to be on level 10 to be zocha to the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have to be on level 5 to be zocha to my bracha. I'm not sure they're on level 10, but I'm pretty sure they're on level 5. So, you know, even, again, if they're not on level 5, they won't even get my bracha. You know, it's not like my bracha is an automatic either. But I'm fairly confident that they could be on level 5, even if they can't be on level 10. You know, so therefore, I want to put in this bracha as a backup, just in case they can't make it to the bigger bracha, at least, you know, they should be able to be zocha to the smaller bracha.
But even if
you
just say,
and Lourdes
as the
scribe, you
talking about,
the,
no pun intended, astronomical
numbers. You really didn't intend a pun over that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You told me
that
I had no choice.
Right.
Yeah, I told
that I should not have a
number. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It's still a big bracha. And to me, I would think that they still need some degree of schus to be zocha to them. If you're going to tell me that all the brachos is just going to happen no matter how, whether they're zocha or not, okay. But if you're, once you're introducing the idea that even a bracha that the Rebbe Shlomo gave on Avraham Avinu, that your children are going to be more numerous than the stars, even that bracha requires requires a degree of schus. So the son of the bracha Moshe Rabbeinu also requires schus. I mean, why should we say that that's automatic? It doesn't require schus, but presumably it requires less of a schus. So you see interesting things just in Yonei Brachos. I mean, I don't pretend to be an expert in giving out brachos or the like, but you see that it's not such a simple thing. Even for someone who has the kolach, that their brachos are going to be mekuyim. I mean, even for the Ribon Shalom, right? Even for the Ribon Shalom, the bigger the bracha, the more the schus of the recipient is necessary. In other words, if you go to somebody for a bracha, right? So you figure, once I'm going for a bracha, I should ask for it all. Right? I mean, if he's giving out brachas, he has the cost of brachas, the cost to be able to give brachas. So, I shouldn't just ask, for a little raise, lech lecha. I shouldn't just ask for a little raise. I should go for broke. I mean, ask for to win the lottery or, something like that. So, you see from this Maral, it may be dangerous to ask for too big a bracha, because the bigger the bracha, the more schus the person needs. That's a fast meruba. Right, that's Amish. It's a fast meruba, lo so fast. You can't bite off more than you can chew. Right, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, I feel I'd like to give them a smaller bracha just in case, I guess what established from this the brachas in general. You can't ask too much in a bracha because if you're not zocha, you could end up getting nothing, by virtue of the fact, or at least if you're going to go for, big brachas, at least get a couple of brachas, get a separate bracha for each little thing. At least, maybe you'll be zocha for one of the brachas, to ultimately be mekuyim.
Right, so even
their
bracha is conditional.
Conditional bracha is close. But again, that's the way the Maral is presenting. Okay, we'll pick up next week. I wish everyone a good Shabbos, and hopefully not a fast, but if we do fast, it should be easy fast.